Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, Courtney. It's Sarah from Kent Memorial Library.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. It's hard to believe we are in the middle of December.
I know. And December is always the fastest month.
It really is.
Though November was pretty quick this year, too. I think our topic today is the most popular books of the year.
Yeah.
Do you have a list there?
So we have. I would say our library system, the Mid-Hudson Library System, just did me a favor, and published the most popular ebooks.
Oh.
For like the past week or so. So I will say, probably like one of the biggest books of the year for in terms of like ebooks has been The Wedding People.
Oh, so good. Love that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I know I read it. It was fantastic. I really liked it.
It's so fun. Yeah.
Another really big one was Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
I loved it.
Yes.
And I wasn't, you know, here's the thing about the books and the covers and all that business. I looked at this and I was like, oh, astronauts. Like, that's not my gig. That's not my jam. But I like Taylor Jenkins Reid, so I was like, I'm going to give it a go. Wow. I loved it so much. And to put the way that she did it where you were, it was about being an astronaut, but it was really about being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And to juxtapose her personal growth with this, like, heroic story of survival, well, spoiler, a hero story, you know, an adventure story at the same time, it was amazing. I love that one.
I have not read it, but I've heard it was really good.
You have it?
I will add it to my list.
Yes, you must fix that immediately. Okay, what else? What were the other biggies?
The new Frederick Bachmann book, My Friends.
Yes, I love that too.
In the past couple months.
But that came out really later, good. like later in the year. So, you know, we ran a report with all the Cirques of the Year, and I think the ones that come out in the beginning of the year get favored. Because obviously there's more time for people to request them. But
yes, definitely.
Anyway, I did enjoy that one too.
And then let me see, that was for fiction, for nonfiction, the Let Them Theory that's been really big this year by Mel Robbins.
I don't know about that. What's that one about?
So I have not read it. The subtitle is A Life-Changing Tool That Millions of People Can't Stop Talking About. So
I never believe those things.
Getting title. So, also popular was Everything is Tuberculosis by John Green,
mm-hmm.
which is all about tuberculosis.
Yep.
So,
and did you read that one?
I did read that one. That was very good.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then my husband, who's a teacher, used that for his classes because they were doing medical, like the history of medicine, and to help the kids understand that all the decisions, you know, that anybody makes about medicine and it's all political. It's all about money. It's all about who is valuable to save, who matters. You know, he used it, and really, I think it kind of blew their heads off because people think it's real simple, and it's not. Interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. I like that one too.
Yeah, it was. And John Green is just a very accessible writer.
He's fun.
Very good at writing nonfiction.
Yeah, I like his brothers too. So,
for kids' book, I'm very excited to share that one of our top kids' books was The Bakery Dragon by Devin L. Kurtz. I don't know if you've read this or seen it, but it is the cutest book. Like, the illustrations are gorgeous. It's about a dragon in a bakery. Like, it's such, like, a feel-good, cozy kids' book.
Is it a picture book or a
It's a picture book, yeah.
Okay.
It's adorable.
It's called The Bakery Dragon?
Yes.
I'm going to have them look into that one.
And then, let me see, I think for DVDs, our top one of the year so far has been Gladiator 2.
Okay.
That has been, and Wicked, of
course,
when it came out. But yeah, pretty much stuff as expected, I'd say. I would say Millbrook, we definitely, our readers tend to skew towards kind of like bestsellers and mystery thriller type books. So
yep, ours too.
There weren't any real surprises.
No, me neither. I had my circulation staff run me some reports, so I just have a just a this ginormous list of all the books that were the things that circulated most, not necessarily the things that were requested most, but the things that circulated most. Mm-hmm. And our number one, which had 19 circs in a year, which you think about, you know, we have a 2 to 3, depending on if it's new, I think this isn't even that new, new or old, it's either 2 weeks or 3 weeks before people have to return it. That's a lot. That means basically every time this book showed up, it went out almost immediately, and that was the life cycle of the common octopus.
Oh.
Did you read that one?
I did not.
Yeah, so that's a good one. It's a family drama set in, two young Canadian girls go to study in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and there's a family, there's a mystery, there's like a parentage thing, there's, you know, it's all about motherhood and female friendship, and that's good. And Emma Knight is, she's pretty well known. But there, what's funny is that some of the criticism of it was that they were trying to take advantage of the ridiculous success of Remarkably Bright Creatures, which, you know, was a huge hit, still is a huge hit. You know, people are still reading it and talking about it, and it's been a couple of years now. But, like, the octopus reference in the title is, it's, you don't even get to the octopus part until, like, page 397 of 400. And so, and I mean, it does matter. Like, it does tie into what the book's about. But at the same time, you're like, that's kind of gratuitous octopusing, I think. Like, do we really, did they have to go so hard on octopus when it's so minor? Or are they really taking advantage of the fact that that book just blew up? But I did like it, and it had a lot going for it. But, yeah, I thought that was sort of a funny critique. Heavy on the octopus. So the next ones were generally mystery stuff, which I'd never read. I can't even pretend. But the other one that came up was called Heartwood by Amity Gage.
Yes.
Did you read that one?
I have not. But that's been popular here, too.
Well, and you know what's cool about that is it's about the Appalachian Trail, which, of course, is a big part of our lives in the Northwest Corner. I'm sure you know, you've got a lot of, I don't know if it doesn't go through Millbrook, but you must get hikers.
Yeah, I think there's so many places around here for hiking between, like, the Carey Institute, Innisfree. I know Weathersfield has trails, so we get a lot of people who are outdoorsy.
Yeah, well, we actually, you know, the AT actually crosses through Kent, and we're considered a pretty significant stop because the trail is maybe a 20-minute walk or so from the village. So a lot of hikers make a point to stop here. They have things shipped in Kent. So, like, we get a lot of AT people. And this book was, I just loved it. I mean, the survival story of this woman is incredible, literally incredible. Not 100% true. I mean, there's aspects of it that are true. These people do have, you know, issues on the trail and get lost and get hurt and all that stuff. So it's not a true story, but parts of it are. And, I loved it. The next one that came up was a new JoJo Moyes. Her stuff's always super popular. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You know what this list made me think about, which is funny. Part of my job and part of your job is reader's advisory. And I'm sure you get a lot of people who sort of walk in and they're like, "I want something to read. Pick something for me." And it's like, okay, that's really dangerous. But you know, a lot of these books that are really popular are things that I loved, and I'm wondering. If I just keep selling the same book titles to people, it's possible. It is very, very possible. Wedding People was up there. I see you've called in Dead. You and I have talked about this one before.
Yeah, that's actually one of my top books of the year.
God, I loved it so much.
That's in
I loved
top
it.
Three.
But I wonder if people like see that title and they say, "No, like that doesn't, you know, I don't. That sounds depressing." And I, at some level, of course, it is. Sad, you know, like it's this guy's in a downfall, in a spiral, but I just loved it so much. Anyway, so our library, like yours, people tend to read a lot of bestsellers, a lot of mysteries. So when they ask me like what mysteries I've read or what I can recommend, I say, I don't know, this is popular. And then I give it to them because I have no interest in reading about dead people. unless they call in dead, that's a different story. And then I had the children's department run their list, and that was interesting. Their biggest circs are driven by their book clubs. So we've got a lot of really active book clubs for the kids in the area. So that kind of skews things in if a book club picked it, it'll automatically get like 10 kids. And, you know, when that, you know, 10 circs for any sort of junior fiction book is kind of a big deal. And then I was laughing because Dog Man just destroyed everything. Of the 10 biggest junior fiction and graphic novels, the 10 biggest, 5 of them are Dave Pilkey.
Wow.
I know. Well, you know, they know what they like. So I thought that was kind of fun. The picture books, you know, wasn't necessarily new ones, just classics and really lovely ones, including like a Llama Llama and a couple of Mo Willems and some Anna Dewdney. I mean, these are people that have been around or are already, they've already passed. They're still popular. And then our young adults, same thing. They've got a lot of support from their, from the book clubs. And they're mostly older books that are still circulating really regularly, like The Hunger Games and Six of Crows, and that's Leigh Bardugo. So I thought it was an interesting list. Not, you know, we don't, I wish we had more teens who came in and just picked up things off the shelves, that we don't. But if they hear something's good, they're pretty likely to come to a book club and read it. And, you know, that's true with adults too, I suppose. So that's sort of where we are. It's never really hugely surprising, but it's always fun to see what people are liking. And, you know, I like to see that if it's books that I've read, that I'm at least sort of current with what people are reading. I read almost zero nonfiction, so I'm the last person to ask about that. But I did read that John Green, so that was good.
We have discovered that many of the staff at the library like to read the same thing. So the one that has been really making the rounds this year is the Emily Wilde series by Heather Fawcett.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of coziness. It's a little bit of fantasy drama. It's a lot of like sweet moments and fairies. Aww. And it was really, really it was really good. I think it's technically filed under romantasy, but it was very like lighthearted, not really intense. Like there's dramatic moments, but she just does like a really good job of building this world that you can escape into. And there are 3 books in the series, and I think this year I read all 3 of them, and her latest one came out in beginning of this year, and she has another one that's coming out in, I want to say, February, that is about a magical cat shelter. So
magical cat shelter.
The title is Angus Aubert's Mystical Cat Shelter, and I will say I was very lucky to get to read like a advanced copy of it. And it was really, really good. So,
oh, well, that's fun. So where do you have someone who's getting you the advanced copies?
It was one of our staff members had a connection that led us to all be able to read this book.
So oh, that's funny.
It was, and it's really, really good, I can say. I think it's coming out in February. But if you want, like a cozy, slightly, like, intense, but not too intense kind of fantasy read, it was very good.
Huh. Well, that's a good recommendation. Thank you. I will say this is the time of the year I read the least because I'm so busy with sort of holiday stuff. I do look forward to things calming down after the new year. But, you know, we are hoping here in Kent to be building in the winter. So it's all kind of hitting the fan right now. So I feel like I'm not going to have a lot of books to recommend in the next couple of months because I will be losing my mind. With good things, with exciting things, but life's in my mind.
Cycles like that.
Yes, it does. It does. Anyway, so other than that, we just have lots of fun events coming up for kids and families, and you know, we're moving forward with our normal December fun, and then who knows what's going to happen? I think it will be a year of big changes here in Kent.
That's
Do you have anything exciting on the docket?
I think we have this Saturday. We have our second annual Breakfast with Santa. It is sold out, but that's going to be really fun. And then we are collaborating with the Millbrook Rotary again for New Year's Eve Millbrook, which is New Year's Eve celebration that we do. And it's a lot of fun.
That sounds
so lovely. It's like one of the times that I really don't mind working on like a holiday or
holiday
that's because
Good.
It's a blast.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, I hope you have happy holidays, and I look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks
so
much.
Good luck with making it through the last half of the year.
Thanks. You too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.